Okay, open up your Bibles to Romans 12, or your Bible apps. So, what did we talk about so far? We talked about that Christianity is about change. Ooh. Okay. And God has... Am I too loud? Can you turn me down a little bit? Okay, thanks. So... We talked about change, and we talked about that the change without God is impossible, that God has to change us because we can't change ourselves. And this morning we talked about what is worship. And we talked about that we live for God in ways that are pleasing to Him. And tonight we're going to talk about the church. And let me tell you this. Church is crazy, right? Not just because the silly games, but as the idea of the church is crazy. And sometimes, I don't know how many of you ever talked to people who don't know God and talked about God. Maybe some of your classmates or whoever. And when I talk to people who don't know God and I'm talking to them about Christianity, a lot of times I think I sound crazy. Like, you know, the whole conversion... It's crazy. The church. And, you know, sometimes the message itself sounds pretty crazy to people who don't know God. Like, have you ever thought about how the message of the gospel would sound like if it would be translated to our modern day? Okay, let's say I'm a missionary. I come to your door in Minnesota. I knock on it. And you open the door. And I say... Can I talk to you about Jesus? And you say, sure, tell me about Jesus. So I'll say, so Jesus was born in North Minneapolis to Virgin Mother from the Wayzata High School. You know, after that, they moved to Bemidji. Because he really liked to be a carpenter like his dad. Yeah, like he made locks like nobody. He was good. You know, he never really traveled outside Minnesota. He never really went to school. He didn't write any books. You know, but once he walked on the Lake Calhoun. He took this boy's lunchbox and fed the Vikings stadium. There are even hot dogs left over. And after that, he died. An electric chair in Texas, because that's the only place they do that now. That's why we wear these little chairs on our necks. And he do that for your sins. And then he rose from the grave. Would you like to join? I mean, it can sound crazy. But that's how you sound like a lot of times. And it's like, Bible itself says it's crazy. Bible itself says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. The message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. But the Bible also says, for those who are called, it's the power and the wisdom of God. Somehow for us, if you became a Christian, if you had your heart changed, it somehow makes sense. And the church, let me talk about conversion, crazy, can be done. Worship, crazy, it needs to be driven by grace. Or it's just tradition and just meaningless rituals. And church the same. So church, and you can write this down. Church is when people in humility, okay, church is when people in humility having the same mind of Christ, serve each other in love. When people in humility, having the same mind of Christ, serve each other in love. Having the same mind as Christ, serve each other? Like, hello, aren't other people here to serve me? Because our culture tells us that, right? You are here to be served. You are the customer. You're supposed to get what we want. There's guacamole and chips on the side. It's true. Let's go into Romans 12. And before we read it, we have to have in mind that Apostle Paul writes this to a church, to a community of people. Or in Greek, it means it's the ecclesia, if you didn't know what those words mean. Those Greek words mean ecclesia, which means literally the called out ones. Those ones being called out. It's community or assembly, sometimes translated. And what we read in the Bible is the fact that when God does the impossible change in people, He wants them to be together. He did not only change us from something, but to something. And that something is community. And this is a big idea. Christianity was never meant to be done in private. All the letters of the New Testament are either to community or to people who lead communities. And are about community. And I know people who told me, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't really need church. I'm perfectly fine being a Christian at home. I had those people tell me that. And I get that, you know. I know why people are saying that. It's because being with other people is hard, isn't it? Like, we don't always like them. And they don't always like us. Like, they're telling us things like, they're telling us things what to do, and when we ask them, how are you, instead of saying the usual, I'm good, how are you, they like tell us actually how they feel, and I just, you don't want to hear that. And these girls in this first row are always shocked when I use sarcasm, so I should be careful. Yeah, exactly. So, being with other people can be difficult. But the thing is, when God is doing a change in us, He doesn't only give us this faith, oh, I believe in God now, I guess. But, He gives us a desire to be like Him. And this is important, we can't experience God deeply apart from community. We can't experience God deeply apart from community. When I was a little boy, a lot of hair ago, I got this present from my parents. I got a baseball glove, a baseball, and a bat. And we went to the cabin, and I was excited, I'm going to play baseball. But the thing is, there are no people there. There are no people who could play with me. So what I ended up doing, I threw the ball against the wall. I destroyed it. It was a nice white wall before. And, you know, I did it for like an hour and two. And then I just stopped. And I was like, yeah, baseball is fun, I guess, but it's not really, you know, it's not really that fun. And a lot of you who love baseball would say, you're missing so much. Baseball is not just about you throwing a ball against the wall. Like, just because you're using a ball and a glove doesn't mean you're actually playing a baseball, right? Christians who live their faith at home are like me throwing the ball against the wall. They may have Bible. They may have their Christian books. But they're sitting at home, and from my experience, they will soon stop doing that. And God gives us a new heart that loves Him and wants to serve others. And we cannot do this alone. We can live this out in a community through church. You know, it's easy to love people from distance. It's easy to think you love people when you're sitting at home and not really interacting with them. It's easy to think you're humble and giving when there's no one around. You know, try to get married. They will teach you. You're not really humble. You're really, really a selfish person. That's what I learned, like the first week. We need community, because in community, we live out love for others. We live out humility. And I said that the church is when people in humility, having the same mind of Christ, serve each other in love. So, the question is, how can we be humble? So that's not so easy. It's not like, I'm going to be humble starting today. It's like, hour later, didn't really work out. So how can we be humble? And the answer from the text is this. Grace makes us humble. That's what Paul says in verse 3. Okay, so verse 3, everybody. He says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. Read again. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. We live out the impossible change God has done in us by being humble. And how can we be humble? In Philippians, Paul writes similar thing. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Humility is what makes church, and it's so hard to do. And Paul tells us how and why we can be humble. First, same as Paul, everything that we have, and think about everything you have, is by grace. Grace means undeserved favor. God does not owe us anything. Like the next breath you're going to take, you're not owed that breath. You don't deserve it. You were given it free. And God, this is important to get. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. And sometimes I get this stupid idea in my head. Maybe some of you get this too. I get this stupid idea in my head like, God must be happy I'm on his team. God must be happy I'm on his team. You know, for his rapture. We think we're so special. Ooh, you play guitar. Ooh, you have a nice face. Ooh, your shirt matches your pants. You reach 40, you reach the level 40 on the, you know, whatever game you play. You're the warrior now. I have to tell you a story about Igor. Not really proud of it. Let's see it. When I was at elementary school, there was this guy, and his name was Igor. And it's a funny name also in Czech. And he had these, like, how do you call them, like, thick, really thick glasses. And he would pick on names. Kids, including me, would be picking on him, and we'd be calling him names. And he, like, man, he was from a bad family. Like, his parents were divorced. He only lived with his mom, and they didn't really have a lot of money. So he would always wear like two shirts. Like it's like for a month. And it was dirty, it smelled. And like his mom didn't want him to be home, so he would like wander the streets and nobody would play with him. And like, and we would play football, meaning soccer. And so you know how it's done. You choose the captains. And they choose the players, split, and you play. And so actually, Igor, he would just stand there, and he would never be picked. He would just pick the teams, and he would be standing there and just like playing. He was like, he was a terrible soccer player. And not just that he smelled, but he was like, so this is him, okay? So he'd be a goalie, because nobody wanted to be a goalie. He'd be a goalie, and then like, you would pass the ball to him, and he would like, instead of catching, he would be like, trying to kick it and then miss it and it'll be a goal. And yeah, so he played, he joined the team after like standing there for 5 minutes, he would like join the team and play with, you know, on some of the side. And what if one time I said, Igor, I'm going to choose you first. And then he would be like running, you know, and the game would be just me being goalie with him because like he couldn't do it himself. And then we would win. And after that, what if Igor would like run around and say, we crushed you guys. We won. Yeah, in your face. I'm like, seriously, this guy, he didn't like a lot of the goals they scored, Igor scored, you know. But the thing is, when God looks to pick his team, he just sees a bunch of Igors. That's you. Like he said, Bible says God looks to pick his team. He says, you know, nobody's righteous. Not even one. Not even one of them. We are all Igors in his eyes. There's no first draft pick among us. God doesn't need you. He chose you. And just because you're on the winning team doesn't make you a winner. You're on his team by his grace, that's all. Because he is good. And so, and this goes in the face of culture around us that's telling us, well, you have to be proud. Everything you got, you work for. Everything you achieve is yours. You know, Psalms are saying that God is in heaven and laughing at fools like that. Don't you just love the Bible? Yeah. People are pathetic. They're not great. There are billions of planets. They can only live on one of them. And guess who put them there? You take one thing, like oxygen, and we'd die. They think we're so incredible. We are not. We owe everything we have, even the next breath, to the grace of God. And Paul is saying that what kills the church are puffed up people, because church is here to serve others in love by worshiping God. And nothing kills it like a guy who thinks he is supposed to be served and not to serve. And Paul says, and listen to this, we owe everything. And he says, even the faith you have, even the faith you think like, at least I have faith. He says, even the faith you have, God decided the exact measure of it and gave it to you. That's what the text says. He said, the text says, but the thing with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Even the faith God gave. There are some people with weaker faith than yours. And guess what? It's not because they're not as awesome as you. They're here so you can serve them. The text goes on, verse 4. For as in one body, we have many members. You know, we have hands, legs, and other members. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Of one another. We belong to one piece. Like this community, New Hope Church and our true church, every one of us, like a piece of a puzzle that belong together, connecting to each other. Some of us are dumb. You know, it's true. And we need smart people to help us out. Some of us are weak. We need strong people to pick us up. We need each other because we function towards one purpose. And there's more. There's more. We have special powers. Yes. Some of us should get a cape and a logo. Listen to this. Verse 6 and 7. Having gifts that differ according to the grace, right again, given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And this is true, and it's here, it's over here. God gives gifts, and you have it. I've been encouraged by a lot of you. You just came to me and encouraged me, and there's a gift of encouragement. There are people who just been great. They serve me. Some of us have gifts of teaching. Some of us have gifts of cleaning. You know, those are mutually exclusive. My wife doesn't think so. The point is, and if you're writing notes, you should write this down. The point is, the point of God giving us gifts is this. That God goes such a long distance as to give us special abilities so we can be together. God goes such a long distance to give us special gifts and abilities so we can be together and rely on each other. God goes such a long distance as to give us special abilities so we can be together and rely on each other. And He does that. And we can then experience this impossible community. And He does that. God does that because He's the same. He Himself is the impossible community. Community of three, but one. Community united in love. Father loves the Son. Son loves the Father. And the Holy Spirit uniting all of it in love. When the Son was here with us, He humbled Himself and served. We want to be just like Him. And when we follow Him, we will experience something of Him. We'll be close to Him. And God wants us to live this impossible change He made in us together. Not just because He needs something from us, but because He is giving us new life. Life and full. I'll end with this. Guys, we need to understand grace. It cannot be just the word we use. You need to understand what it means that you don't deserve anything and have been given everything. I know we don't get it. Why? Because we are proud. I am proud a lot of times. Grace is what makes us humble. Because when we get the grace, we will see others more and less of ourselves. You know, Tim Keller said, famous preacher, he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Okay? You're not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. A lot of people say, I need to know my spiritual gift. Like everyone hopes for prophecy and healing or whatever, something amazing. But what we need first is humility to even recognize what the gifts are for. Because you're gifted for, not for yourself, but for others. As if God, it's not really that you have a gift, but church has gotten a gift through you. And it's all of grace. You know, in Greek, and this is the most I used Greek last year. In Greek, the word for grace and gifts is almost the same. In Greek, the word for grace is charis or charis, or I don't know how you Americanize it, but, and the word for gifts are charismata. Same root. It's like grace and gracies. You've been given gracies. That's like kind of how to translate it, that would sound similar. Gracies. That makes us humble servants. So, we said, Churches, community of people, changed by God, living for Him the way He likes. And now we're going to add. Ready? So keep writing down, add this. Community of people changed by God, living for Him the way He likes. You should have this already. Serving each other in humility. Okay, serving each other in humility. So, community of people changed by God, living for Him the way He likes, serving each other in humility. Because when we serve each other in humility, the Bible says we are having the same mind as Christ. Though what's more awesome than us, serve us to the point of the cross, and we want to be just like Him. Let me pray. God, we thank You for this incredible, impossible message of the gospel. I thank You for people who are here, who believed it, who repented, who are with You, and now believe it with me. Believe that it's the wisdom and the power of God, and it's the only thing that can save non-believers. I thank You for church. Thank You for Your grace. That me, as no one before You, can be part of a community that You make. That we can be on the winning team and be with You and to even have eternal life in You. Didn't have to give us that, but You did give us that. We thank You. And please move us to understand what it means to get grace. And make us humble. Keep us humble, Lord. And I pray for people who never experienced Your grace. I pray they would experience it tonight. That as we who experience it, they would be set free from themselves, from pride and selfishness, and could live for You, not just for themselves. Amen.